My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. You are tuned to community-supported radio, KVMR, FM, Nevada City, Auburn, Sacramento. The numbers in the studio are 265-9555-564. 9555, toll-free from Sacramento, California. On the line, our guest in this hour is Mr. Howard Lyman. Mr. Lyman, thank you for being with us.
It's a pleasure to be with you today.
Well, I certainly appreciate that you were able to be on the program. It's really interesting how things have this sometimes serendipitous nature to them, and the fact that I had John Stauber of PR Watch on the program a number of weeks ago, and we were talking about a book that he has put out entitled Mad Cow USA. And in our conversation, your name came up, and I didn't know who Howard Lyman was, and I found out that you ran somewhat afoul of the beef industry on the Oprah Winfrey Show. Can we talk about that, let the listeners know about what happened there, and then how you find yourself doing what you're doing?
Well, let's start out at the top of it. I'm a fourth-generation farmer, rancher, feedlot operator. I travel around the world about 11 out of 12 months of the year, about 100,000 miles, and I talk to people about the proper amount of animal products to be in their diet as being zero. Now, I'm the director of the Eating with Conscience campaign for the Humane Society of the United States. And so when I go around, I'm talking to people about what I consider to be common sense. Who produced your food? What are they using on it? What's it doing to you, the environment, and the animals? Well, I was invited to go on the Oprah Winfrey Show and talk about mad cow disease. Now, 5 years ago, I started talking to people about a disease, a spongiform disease, that would survive 340 degrees centigrade, had no RNA, no DNA, and from the time you were infected until you died would be anywhere from 10 to 30 years. Now, I was probably the only person in the United States that was talking about that issue. And so in England, when the Minister of Health stood up in front of Parliament and he announced that they no longer could assure the English people that mad cow disease could not be transferred from cows to humans, I happened to be in England. I did 70 press interviews in 9 days, came back to the United States, and lo and behold, I got a call from Oprah Winfrey. She said, how would you like to come on the show and talk about mad cow disease? Well, remember, when I went to England, I was just a farm boy from Montana. By golly, I came back, I was a celebrity. You know, I'd done radio and television in 200 countries. I didn't just jump at that. I waited 4 or 5 seconds before I said, you bet. So I went on the show, and I talked to the American people about the information that I thought was important. 14% of all cows in the U.S. being ground up, turned into feed, and fed back to other cows. Many states collecting the roadkill, deer, elk, antelope, dogs, cats off of the road, turning them over to renders, grinding them up, and turning them into animal feed. And then the fact that about 40% of all of the pets that are euthanized in America are turned over to renders, ground up, turned into either food for our pets or our food animals, even though we know that the chemicals that were used to kill them would not break down in the rendering process. Now, when I said that on the Oprah show, Oprah looked at me and said, well, wait a minute, cows are supposed to eat grass. And I said, yes, not only have we turned them into carnivores, we've turned them into cannibals. And she said, well, you know, that stops me cold. I'll never again eat a burger. Well, you know, that show was taped. We taped it on Thursday. Monday, they ran the show. On Tuesday, the beef futures market went limit down. They call it the Oprah crash. The beef industry pulled $600,000 worth of advertising off of the networks. The networks called Oprah and said, you know, you got to do something to make these cattlemen happy. She said, well, shucks. Just tell them to send me a spokesman. She said, I'll get Lyman. We'll do a whole show on this, so everybody will know about it. Cattleman said, well, if you put Lyman on, we're not going to show up. Well, Oprah, she's sort of good-hearted. She gave them 10 minutes without anybody on there to rebut what they had to say. And, you know, you can tell when a cattleman is stretching the truth. His lips are moving. But good old Oprah, she took the original show and ran it again for another 20 million American people. Well, I got a call from one of the networks, and they said, did you know you were being sued? I said, no, I didn't know that. And they said, yep, group of cattlemen are suing you, Oprah, Harpo Production, and the communication company for in excess of $20 million. Well, I'll tell you, I immediately raced home. I inventoried my vegetarian cookbooks, and, you know, I knew those cattlemen wanted those vegetarian cookbooks bad, but I have to admit to you, I don't think they're worth $20 million. Well, I placed a call, left a message for Oprah, and I said, shucks, you know, if we lose this lawsuit, I'm going to throw in my vegetarian cookbooks, but, you know, it's going to be up to you to pay them. Well, Oprah and I and Harpo and the communication company are scheduled to be in trial in Amarillo, Texas sometime when the judge sets the suit under a thing called food disparagement. I have no idea when that's going to be, but, you know, the fact of it is all I did was stand up and tell the American people the facts. I told them what every major health organization in the world concurs, that we should quit feeding cows to cows. And lo and behold, in August of last year, USDA and FDA promulgated regulations that in the United States will no longer feed cows to cows. So I guess if I did something wrong, I don't quite understand what it is, but I thought all I did was exercise my right of free speech. But for that, I'm going to have to go into court in Texas and defend myself. That's where we are.
We're talking with Howard Lyman, and it's tremendously interesting what's happening. I mean, you bring up so many topics. And, you know, first, let the listeners know that they are listening to community-supported radio, KVMR-FM, Nevada City, Auburn, Sacramento. And our guest is Howard Lyman, who is discussing his personal battles with the beef industry. Mr. Lyman, I think we have a call coming in.
Sure.
Caller, you're live on the air on KVMR.
Afternoon. I'm a retired former USDA poultry inspector in the East, and I had some experiences in two different plants, and I threw out too many chickens because of the visible defects. Of course, we don't have microscopes in our eyes, so we can't detect these microscopic bugs in the chicken itself, but I myself threw out three large cans, holds about 150 pounds each a day, and so after about 4 months they fired me, but I proved that I didn't do anything contrary to the rules and regulations, so I got my unemployment compensation. But one of the things that I found out, that and all these things I kept in my brain, and I gave it over to the hotline, the 800 hotline in Washington, and eventually they got around to firing my own supervisor and the circuit inspector and another supervisor, and so one of the things that I found out is they take all these condemned chickens. They take the manure. They take all the slop from the chicken slaughterhouses itself, from the drains that we throw out, and they compress it into an animal feed. And the animal feed goes back into live chickens, and it goes into all kinds of livestock. And that's the reason that you have so many cancers in chickens, but also in the other livestock, the beef, the veal, the lamb, and the pork, so we have a very large incidence of human cancer, and the doctors are hesitant. The AMA is hesitant to tell the people where the cancers are coming from. That a lot of these cancers that we recognize as transmissible from animals to human beings are coming from these commercially produced livestock, And so, you know, just like the doctors were very reluctant to tell the people that smoking produces cancers and smoking kills people, they know, I'm sure they know what the cause of the high incidence of cancers in human beings are, and they are picked up from eating meat and poultry. And so I think, and I would ask Mr. Lyman's opinion on this, that this whole inspection thing that was started after Upton Sinclair's book, Packing House Jungle, the whole thing is nothing but a sugar pill, and most of the things that are dangerous to human beings in meat or poultry are undetectable to a layman's eye, because we don't have the laboratory equipment, we don't have the time, and each inspector, when I was working, had to inspect 17 chickens per minute, and you just can't detect the really dangerous, lethal things in this at that rate of speed, and as I said, we don't have the laboratory equipment, so the whole thing is nothing but a fraud, and so I don't eat any meat or poultry or fish, because fish comes out of polluted waters, much even of the ocean is polluted now, and so I would ask Mr. Lyman, what does he think about this? And I, the only fault I could find with Mr. Lyman and the other people is that they're not going deeply enough or widely enough into this whole pollution problem with meat, poultry, and fish. And I would appreciate your comments, Mr. Lyman.
Well, I'll tell you right now, I agree that our inspection system today is a sham. It has nothing other to do than to get the consumer out there to believe that somebody is really looking after their health and welfare, they're taking care of them. The New York Times, there was an article that was less than a couple of weeks ago, they were talking about 80 to 90% of all of the poultry that they inspected had Campylobacter. We see the amount of salmonella growing astronomically. E. coli, 0157H7, we're closing plants. It's not just those plants. If we go and look at them, there is a lot of product that is out there that is contaminated. I totally agree with you that this whole issue is much deeper than what we have. We used to have inspectors that had authority to be in the plants to actually shut down the chain so that they would correct things. They no longer have that authority. They're just sort of rubber stamps for what's going on. The consumer out there today should know that the problem is getting worse. It's not getting better. And right now, USDA is looking at it that the solution is going to be to irradiate the meat that is out there. Well, that really makes me wonder, when we're talking about putting something in there on your food that they won't allow you to put into your garbage dump. And so I think that every consumer needs to look at the fact that today in the United States, 7 out of every 10 Americans are dying from something associated with their diet, according to the Surgeon General. 1 out of 2 are dying of one thing, which is heart disease. 1 out of 3 will get cancer. 1 out of 4 will die of cancer. In 3 short years, it's expected that cancer will be the number one killer in America. And USDA will freely admit that 75% of all carcinogens and toxins that cause cancer are getting into the human body in the form of animal products. So if you're concerned, as I am, about the future of your health, the health of our children and grandchildren, I think you have to take a look at where your food is coming from, what they're using on it, what's it doing to you, the environment, and the animals, and we're getting worse and not better.
We're talking with Howard Lyman about mad cow disease, the beef industry, and food disparagement laws. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. Mr. Lyman, I think we have another call coming in. Caller, you're live on the air on KVMR.
Hi. Mr. Lyman, I wondered about the hormone that causes cows to produce higher quantities of milk, and the protein, the high amounts of protein that they were forced to feed the cows so that they will produce this increased quantity of milk. And where, I know this protein source was from fall down, and if they cease to offer that or have that resource, what protein might they be giving the cows to produce this added milk?
Well, what we're talking about is we're talking about bovine growth hormone, and they knew for a long time that if you took this hormone from a dead cow and put it into a live cow, she'd produce more milk, but it was too expensive. And so, you know, with genetic engineering, we were able to end up with bacteria working in a stainless steel tank 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, no union, no overtime. We produce genetically engineered bovine growth hormone, suck it out in a syringe, put it into a cow, and lo and behold, the cow had produced 15 to 30% more milk, and boy, isn't science wonderful. But the cow needed additional protein, and that additional protein was ground up cows. But as of August, we quit, we have regulations. We no longer can feed cows to cows, but we can feed pigs to cows, ground up pigs, ground up chickens, ground up turkeys, ground up horses can still be fed back to cows, and that's what they're doing right now in many cases to get that protein source. But I think the listeners need to think a little deeper in this, and it's not only the protein that's being fed to these cows that are being injected with this recombinant bovine growth hormone. They found that when they inject these cows with this recombinant bovine growth hormone, that the cow has the potential to produce more what they call IGF-1, insulin growth factor 1. In cows, it's the same as it is in humans. It makes your hands, your feet, your nose, and your chin grow. When a cow has been injected with recombinant bovine growth hormone, it's been shown in cases where she will produce up to 1,000 times more IGF-1. There are studies underway right now that indicate that IGF-1 enhances the growth of cancer cells. These studies are not completed. We do not know all of the ramifications, but ask yourself this question. When we go back and look at the way that we have selected dairy cows over the years, we will find that the amount of IGF-1 in the selection process of the cows that we've had with higher milk production, that the cows are producing more insulin growth factor 1. When we inject them with the genetically engineered bovine growth hormone, they're producing more IGF-1. If IGF-1 does show to enhance the growth of cancer cells, maybe this will explain a lot of why cancer is growing as much as it is in this country. And remember, we have gone from cancer of being almost minuscule in the United States to where it will be the number one killer within a few years. We need to take a look at what it is that is causing that, and we are not on top of it. It is getting worse and worse all the time. It's about time we pull our head out of the sand and look at it and say, we've got to do something much different than what we're doing right now.
We're talking with Howard Lyman. Mr. Lyman, let me ask you, because, I mean, and I think you've said this, and I know from reading Mad Cow USA, that these same type of cannibalistic feeding practices that are being done in the meat industry, which, you know, may be stopping now, but this is exactly, or let me say that this seems to be the main theory of Mad Cow being transmitted to human beings in England, correct? That this is how this happened. That's my understanding of it.
Yeah, we're looking at it probably the main source of the problem, and we can't say it's total because there are such things as spontaneous. We know now that cows can transfer it to calves in the womb, but I think that most people believe that the main problem came from taking infected animals that were ground up, turned into feed, and fed back to other animals. Now, there's some interesting things that have happened just this year. Number one, Dr. Stanley Prusiner ended up winning the Nobel Prize for the theory of prions of being the infectious agent of the spongiform diseases. And remember, a prion is an abnormal protein, survived 340 degrees centigrade, has no RNA, no DNA. It is an abnormal protein, and when it's put in association with normal protein, without RNA, without DNA, some way transfers the signal and turns normal protein abnormal. Dr. Prusiner came up with this theory. It was given the Nobel Prize for it. Number two, they now know that BSE in cattle, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, is exactly the same as the new variety of CJD, Creutzfeldt-Jakob disease, in humans, the human form of mad cow disease. They are identical. And we also know now that there are studies that show that you can transfer the disease, the spongiform diseases, from one species to another by blood. We know that a woman that was pregnant in Japan, that they removed her child. She had CJD. They removed her child by cesarean section. The placenta, the umbilical cord, and the colostrum from her breast milk were infectious. It will be 15 to 30 years before we know whether the child was or not. These are things that we know. I would recommend to the listeners, get a book like John Stauber's book, Mad Cow USA. Read about it and see people that have won the Nobel Prize and what they have to say about what's happening. And then ask yourself, are we taking those risks that these people that are supposedly the brightest in the world that are saying to us, you shouldn't be doing those things, but we're still doing it. Are we doing that just for the sake of the financial interests of a few at the same time that we are taking the health of many and putting them at risk? A Mad Cow USA is a wonderful primer for looking at what's happening. I think that Sheldon Rampton and John Stauber did a phenomenal job with that book. I would recommend it to everybody to read it to get up on the issue.
We're talking with Howard Lyman about the beef industry, mad cow disease. And also, I would like, if we could, Mr. Lyman, to move into this area of food disparagement laws, because as best as I understand it, what this is, of course, is a form of slap suit, whereby people such as yourself who dare to speak out have these industries or government agencies or whatever come after them in these, you know, massive sort of financial lawsuits, which, you know, in my opinion, the average person, so as you so stated, I mean, you know, whose wealth is contained in a number of vegetarian cookbooks, it's really hard to fight this stuff. And can you talk about these slap lawsuits and these food disparagement laws?
Sure. There's about 13 states now that have passed laws, and they're basically, they come down to this. And the laws say that it's against the law to say something that you know to be false about a perishable commodity. Well, if you look at that, that's fair enough. You shouldn't be saying things that you know to be false about a perishable commodity, something that somebody is trying to make their living on. And most of these came from, if you remember back when they had the Alar scare, they were talking about the apples that were being sprayed with the chemical Alar. These laws were passed in 13 states. There's a number of them that have them in front of the legislatures. And all in all, you look at it and you say, well, gee, that's not bad. But remember that the First Amendment to our Constitution says that we have the right of free speech. When you disagree with somebody and you stand up and have your say, if they claim, now it doesn't have to be, they just claim that you are disparaging their product, then you have to go to court and defend yourself. And these suits can cost hundreds of thousands of dollars to defend yourself. You take someone like myself, I'm not wealthy, to go into court and defend myself for my right of free speech, I'm putting everything that I have, my home, my house, my car, my savings, at risk for only standing up and saying something that the United States government, USDA and FDA, agreed, and they banned the feeding of cows to cows. I said what every major health organization in the world agrees, that we shouldn't be feeding these animals to other animals, but at the same time, I will have to end up in court in Amarillo, Texas, putting everything that I have at risk. Hundreds of thousands of dollars will be spent preparing to defend myself against something that the Supreme Court or the Constitution says in the First Amendment that I have the right of free speech. The question is, Mike, do we have that right, or do we have something that's out there right now that they say the people with the money have a thing called the golden rule, them that got the gold? want to make the rules. I hope not.
Well, unfortunately, I think you summed it up very well, that them that got the gold do get away with making the rules. That's a fact. My name is Mike Thornton. This is Full Logic Reverse. You're tuned to community-supported radio, KVMR-FM, Nevada City, Auburn, Sacramento. Our guest is Howard Lyman, discussing mad cow disease, the beef industry, and so-called food disparagement laws. We saw a grand example of food disparagement laws and slap suits, I think, enacted in the so-called McLibel case in England. Can you talk a little bit about the McLibel case so people would know what that was about? I'm assuming that you would be prepared to discuss it, you know, at least a little bit.
Well, I even went over and testified in court. I was appointed by the court as an expert witness to discuss the way the cattle are produced. But let's get back to it. There were 12 people that belonged to a group that was called Greenpeace London. There were 12 members of the group. They stood in front of McDonald's hamburger outlets and handed out about 1,500 brochures that were calling to the attention of some of the problems that this group thought that McDonald's were doing health-wise, labor-wise, environmentally. Now, there were 12 members of the group. Seven of them were paid informers by McDonald's Corporation, and only five of them were real activists that were involved in the issue. McDonald's, a multi-billion-dollar corporation, threatened that they were going to file libel action against the not the seven that were working for them, but the five that weren't. Three of the five said, we're sorry, Ronald, let us go. We will sin no more. And so they said, fine, they wouldn't file suit against those. The other two, Dave and Helen, said, no way, we're willing to go to court. Both Dave and Helen were unemployed. All they were was activists that believed in what they were about. The English law system is much different than the United States. Over there, when you're sued for libel, you are considered guilty until you prove yourself innocent. Dave and Helen went into court. It became the longest-running libel suit in the history of English court. I went over. I testified in court. I stood up in front of the judge, and it was the first time I'd ever been in court and seen a judge dressed in drag. But I said to the judge, I said, let's look at the way we're producing beef animals around the world. You know, we're feeding them ground-up cows, dogs, and cats. We're giving them cement. In many cases, we're collecting manure and feeding it back to them. And McDonald's solicitor stood up and said, Your Honor, this has nothing to do with what we're here about. And the judge said, sit down. I'm interested. I talked to the judge for about 4 hours about what we're doing in the way we are producing beef animals around the world. Well, that case was the longest libel case in the history of English law. Came down that the judge ruled that basically that McDonald's was right. He had judged a penalty against Dave and Helen, but he also came down with a split decision and said on several of the issues that Greenpeace London, Dave and Helen were correct. Well, McDonald's lost in the court of public opinion. They decided that they were not going to go back and do anything more about it because Dave and Helen said, we're not paying you. And we're going to continue to do what we're doing. They walked out of court, went right back in front of the McDonald's outlets and started handing out the brochures again. And McDonald's says, we aren't going to get into that again. And they just walked away from it. This was a case of people that were exercising their rights. A multi-billion dollar corporation found a country that had perverted laws that allowed them to take basically people without resources and drag them through the mill. They got a hold of the two wrong people because those people stood up and won in the World Court of Public Opinion. I think it was one of the best things that happened to the people around the world right now that believe in the grassroots movement of that people have dignities, have rights, and should have the right of free speech.
Well, my personal opinion is I think they may have gotten a hold of the wrong one here in the United States as well. We're speaking with Howard Lyman. Mr. Lyman, we only have a minute left. I understand that you are going to be doing at least one relatively local speaking engagement, if not more. Can you let people know about that before we get out of here?
Yes, this evening, or not this evening, but tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock at the Central SDJ Church, SDA Church, in Sacramento. I don't have the address, but if you call any of the Seventh-day Adventist churches, they can tell you where the central Seventh-day Adventist church is. We're going to do a lecture on the food supply. We're going to talk about things like mad cow disease, the food disparagement, and I would recommend that anybody that's interested to come. We'll have a short lecture, and then we will spend as much time as the audience wants answering questions about our diet, our environment, the trade laws, and those sorts of things. So it'll be 7 o'clock Wednesday evening at the Central SDA Church in Sacramento. I would recommend everybody, if you have an interest, come. We'll have a wonderful time.
And anybody contacting any Seventh-day Adventist church would be able to get the information on how to get a hold of the Central one in Sacramento, correct?
Absolutely.
Mr. Howard Lyman, thank you for joining us on the program today. I found it to be tremendously interesting.
Mike, it was a joy, and the one thing I'd like to say is thank you and Public Radio for doing what you're doing. It's a service that people do not realize that how much information does not get out unless it was for what you do. I thank you very much for that.
Well, thank you very much, sir. Hopefully we can have you on the show again.
We'll do it.
Good deal.